Spirit Radio Podcasts.
A lot of times we focus way too much on the differences between various Christian traditions and denominations. But when you think about it, we probably don't spend enough time talking about what the characteristics and beliefs that all Christian churches hold in common. Our next guest has a passion for this topic and would say that you would be very surprised to find out how much is held in common among all Christians. In studio now to tell us more, we have author and evangelist Father Dimitri Sala. You're very welcome to the show this morning, Father.
Thanks for welcoming, Jackie.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. And tell us a little bit about yourself, Father Dimitri. People may not know who you are. Give us a little bio.
I'm a Franciscan friar and an ordained priest, and I live in Chicago, but I'm not a local pastor. I am really in a full-time ministry of preaching the Word of God. We call it itinerant preaching. And I came into that precisely because I had an encounter with the Lord, which I would call a primary conversion, a turn in my life, what oftentimes our Protestant brethren call being born again. And I believe everybody needs to know Jesus as Lord and Savior and dial into the new life of the Holy Spirit. So that was really the basis of the ministry. And as I was called into preaching after I got ordained, I would have fellowship and occasion to preach in non-Catholic contexts as well, ecumenical contexts. And then I began to see exactly what you were just talking about, that there's a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of even prejudice at times between Christian groups. And I had a burden in my heart for that, and that eventually led me to start writing and eventually to publish the book, The Stained Glass Curtain, which I hope will, at least between Catholics and evangelicals, begin to give people the proper information on the foundation of what Christianity is supposed to be based upon, which is part of what we call our common heritage. Mm. And it should be common heritage between all Christians.
Yeah. Interesting title for the book. I like the title, The Stained Glass Curtain. Tell us about the book.
The book is an attempt to address a real issue that's out there, as I just mentioned. And, you know, how do you bring the Church of Jesus Christ back into unity again? It's like that seems to be such a big proposition. But I tend to be pretty logical, and I can relate with Paul, who said, you know, I'm a builder. And so when you talk about any building or any process of building, you have to start with a foundation. And the foundation of anything in Christianity is meant to be the gospel of salvation, the message of how is a person made right with Jesus Christ, and how do they dial in personally to that work that he completed and was manifest 2,000 years ago. And so the first chapter talks about that, and let's meet each other on the foundation. Yes, we have a lot of other things that we don't have in common, but can we agree that, at least officially speaking, the Catholic Church teaches the same gospel, it's on paper in our official documents, as we commonly hear from evangelicals? So that's basically the gist of it. The middle section takes four quality chapters to go into the content of that gospel, and that's where I find the greatest delight, because most people are surprised, as I was when I first discovered this, of what the official teachings of the Catholic Church have to say about that.
Mm. And so would you say that there are a lot of things we have in common that we're not aware of?
I would say that exactly, and that's what I try to make people aware of. But the most important thing of which is this foundation of being on the same page when it comes to the salvation message.
Mm. And, you know, people can feel that sometimes when they work in cooperation with other Christians from other traditions, they're going out on a limb, so to speak. Why do people think that?
Well, we're all creatures of our own culture, of our own experience, and we tend to live, quote unquote, in our own little world. And let's just be honest about that. And so anytime we're called to think outside of the box or even experience something outside of the box, there's a sort of built-in hesitation. We see that in the scriptures. When Paul was out and about in the Roman Empire and he comes back saying, hey, there are all these non-Jewish people that are receiving salvation, and Jewish people had a hard time integrating in that. If you read in Acts of the Apostles chapter 15, there's a whole council called to deal with that issue. It's the same today.
Not much has changed. It's worth the risk, though, isn't it, Father, to get out there and to roll up our sleeves. I mean, like an initiative like Spirit Radio, we bring people together to work on the common gospel message of trying to get that message out there to the people. It's worth rolling up the sleeves and doing it, isn't it?
It is. It's difficult, especially given our history as the Christian church. This year is the 500-year anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. And the question is, are we celebrating? Are we reconciling? What are we really doing as the body of Christ? But the bottom line for me is obeying God. Jesus prayed that his church would be one so that the world would know that the Father sent the Son. And is it worth it? From that perspective, if it fulfills what Jesus wants in his heart, I'm on for it.
On for us. Amen. Can you tell us what you're doing here in Ireland?
First of all, I'm enjoying Ireland for the first time. I've never been here before.
Oh, well, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. I come from Chicago, and there's a lot of Irish folks in Chicago.
Mm,
so
there
now,
are.
Now I know what their heritage is about. So, but also, I am here on a spiritual mission. I was invited here by one of my colleagues in a ministry that I'm part of called Transform Our World. It's an international, interdenominational ministry that wants to take the power of the Holy Spirit outside the four walls of the church into the marketplace, into the real world where God can demonstrate that he can change things around. And so Clifford Sullivan, who is my contact, is interested in attracting Catholics into this movement and at least letting them know that we're out there so that together we can build. And so I've been at a number of different meetings in which I've been presenting the basics of our salvation message and also this message of reconciliation and unity of Christians moving together with one another. And this interview is another meeting.
Another way of doing that.
Exactly.
Reaching people who are listening. You know, I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I'd like for you to elaborate on it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have hope that Christians from different traditions can draw closer together to do a better job at witnessing together to the resurrection of Jesus? What would you say about that?
Yes, I absolutely have hope because it's in the heart of the Father. Jesus prayed for it, and God's not going to refuse the prayer of his Son. Where it really becomes a challenge of faith is, can we start to see that in our own generation? And I'm not an optimist, I'm not a pessimist, but I'm a realist. And so I put my hope in the Holy Spirit because even in our official Catholic teachings, we say that the unity of the church has to be a work of God, especially with all the things that we've gone through. And I would imagine any listener who knows the history of Christianity would agree that, hey, if this is going to happen, God's going to have to be in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not just saying that to sound, you know, holy or pious or whatever. I have grounds for hope now because I'm actually involved in initiatives where Catholics and evangelicals, for example, are coming together and dialoguing with each other. People reading the stained glass curtain, I hear testimonies about how their eyes are open to, well, I never knew that about the Catholic Church on both sides of the stained glass curtain. And even on the highest levels of our churches, there are things going on that, you know, basically, for example, there's been dialogue between theologians for a long time. And on Reformation Day in 1999, the Catholic Church and the World Lutheran Federation issued a joint declaration on the doctrine of justification in which theologically they resolved that issue that was such a bone of contention at the time of Martin Luther, and they both signed on to it saying, look, if this is the way we understand what justification means, we're on the same page. So my hope is based certainly in the Lord, but also in the fact that there's actually stuff happening today that's moving us in that direction. Mm. And the present Pope is right in there with that move.
Oh, he certainly is. You know, the current climate that we're in now, where Christians are under persecution, you're seeing it worldwide. How important do you think it is that we really start to get this, that we are more on the same page than what we realized in the past, and to get on that page and to work together, to unite, to strengthen as Christians?
I like to say we don't have the luxury these days of disunity. Certainly in places where people are literally persecuted. For example, I hear in China, the underground church is very united because they have to be. But if we look at other situations, let's say here in the Western Hemisphere, you know, Ireland and certainly the United States, are we being persecuted? Ideologically, we are. The culture is changing. And people are moving away more and more from the Judeo-Christian biblical foundations of society. So we're misunderstood a lot. And again, if we want to not lose the culture, we absolutely have to join hands and hearts. And yeah, we're not saying we don't have disagreements and things that need to be ironed out in terms of our doctrines and whatever have you. But if we're on the same foundation of the salvation of Jesus Christ, then we need to link up with one another and be a force, at least to offer this world an alternative, which we, of course, believe is a better and the best alternative, that the world can be different.
Mm, and we do have so much in common for that foundation to build on.
We do.
If you were going to take the temperature, so to speak, of the climate, I mean, have you been in Ireland long enough to be able to say how you think we're doing at coming together and trying to work together as Protestants and Catholics in Christian unity? And if you can't speak to that, maybe what's it like in the States? Is it happening? What's the movement like at the moment?
Well, yeah, I just have to be honest and say that I haven't really known by firsthand experience the climate here other than the last few days. But I can tell you about that and also about what for example, my buddy Clifford has told me about. That's the reason why he brought me in here is his sense is that, yeah, we're still struggling in this country with that issue. And he told me specifically, for example, back in the 60s, late 60s, early 70s, I should say, when there was a real unprecedented move of the Holy Spirit, you know, we call it in the States the Charismatic Renewal. Apparently, non-Catholics and Catholics were very much united. And then it seemed to just dissolve, and people went back to their separate camps. And so God, I believe, is using people like Clifford to blow the whistle and say, hey, it's time for us to come out of our own little world, so to speak, and let's look at this. And just judging on the last few days, I've been here since, you know, first meeting was Wednesday night. There is a tremendous openness and an enthusiasm. One of the things that blessed me is that as I began to share this message about Christians uniting for the sake of the transformation of the world to bring the kingdom forth, we've heard several times people saying, this gives us in Ireland hope.
Mm.
So I praise God for that. And I want to bless Ireland and everybody who's got this heart to say, yeah, be encouraged. There is hope. Like I said, not in emotions or not in our pie in the sky dreams, but hope in the Lord and hope in the fact that when we do unite, God's going to honor that and things can change.
So
keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on. Oh my God. I could talk to you for the rest of the day. I find this so interesting. And I think a lot of people out there listening are finding real hope in the words that you're sharing and what you're saying. Can you tell people where to find out more? If they're out there listening and they're going, wow, this is really amazing. How can they get their hands on your book? Where can they get more information?
Sure. Well, two websites that I'll refer you to. First of all, my book's website is simply thestainedglasscurtain.com. And there are various links there. There's information about the book. There's some endorsements. There's also some videos they can take a look at and my calendar. So, there's that. And the book can be ordered through the website as well as through Amazon. My thinking is that probably Amazon would be easier because of the international postage and whatnot. But if we give a 20% discount, and if you're willing to go that route and we could help you out, just go there. And then I really encourage people to get on the website of this international ministry I'm part of. It's called transformourworld.org, in which you see the larger picture of which we participate, where Christians uniting literally around the globe, despite our denominations, the marvelous things that are happening, including the work that Clifford is doing, where, for example, we're seeing crime statistics change right here in Bray through the power of people blessing and praying and speaking the Lordship of Jesus into the spiritual climate. Amazing.
Wow, it is amazing. The Holy Spirit just cannot be outdone in what he's the man.
That's why I became a Christian.
Absolutely. Father Dimitri Sala, author of The Stained Glass Curtain, Crossing the Evangelical Catholic Divide in Our Common Heritage. Thank you. That's a mouthful. Thank you so much for coming on this morning and talking to us. It's been very inspiring and very hopeful.
Thank you so much for having me, Jackie, and may the Lord bless all our listeners.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.